What is going on with y'all, man? It is Black Balloon, and I'm coming back with another video, so y'all already know what's going on. Alright, y'all. Now, in today's video, we have a very interesting topic. I guess this will be like a part two to the last video we did with Ali Carter speaking on MK Ultra. Y'all know we went over the background, a little bit of history of MK Ultra. It was brought to my attention in the comments. A couple of y'all commented about Candace Owens and the fact that she's been exposing a lot of stuff about MK Ultra and Kamala Harris and her mom, and also an attorney who helped Kamala Harris get to the position that she was at, you know, like back in the early 2000s. In order for her to even be an attorney, this guy was basically, you know, her footstool. He got her in that position. You know, he taught her. He gave her advice, so on and so on, right? Candace Owens, the video that she did, we're going to react to. She talked to a journalist that was, you know, very much in those circles back then. And the guy who actually helped Kamala Harris become an attorney was his protege. And he mysteriously died when basically he was going against some views that Kamala Harris had on the little ones and the cartel. So it's a very deep story. I haven't reacted or been on Candace Owens' channel since we did the video where her and Kanye West were talking about alcohol and demonic spirits. So I'm kind of like familiarizing myself a little bit more with her and her platform and the things that she talks about. And she goes into detail about a lot of interesting things. They were talking about almost everything we talked about in the last video when it comes to MK Ultra, how it's still being ran today. And, you know, basically what it actually means, you know, why and how they use it. And y'all, if you haven't heard that video, it's only 54 minutes long. So I suggest y'all to go check it out in its entirety. I'm going to react to a couple of important parts, you know, clipped out a little bit from that interview with the journalist. And we definitely have to talk about it as it relates back to Kamala Harris, her upbringing, and her mom actually being involved with some of the first projects in Canada on MK Ultra. Man, was it a very interesting listen. And we're going to go into detail about the mysterious death of the guy who helped Kamala get her start as an attorney. All right. So with that being said, y'all, we'll go ahead and jump into the very first clip of the video. Check this out.
All right, guys. So we previously told you that there is a journalist, an accomplished journalist named Yoichi Clark Shimatsu, formerly the editor of the Japan Times, who made some stunning claims about Kamala Harris and her late mother, Shamla Goplin. As a graduate of Berkeley University, Clark, as he prefers to be called, ran in the same circles as them. And he claims that Kamala's mother was a part of the CIA's MK Ultra program, a psychopathic, sadistic program that ran throughout the 60s, probably is still running today, in which Americans and even government agents alike were drugged and sometimes murdered with the aim of brainwashing the masses. Clark also claims, rather stunningly, that Kamala Harris was previously married to a wealthy Canadian, a marriage which her connections to the deep state have gone through great pains to delete from public record. So is he telling the truth? Well, I'll let you decide, because today we welcome him onto the show.
Well, thank you very much. Very glad. You know, I'm a rather minor character in this border drama right now, and I'm afraid communications where I am are really, they've been tampered with because of the border situation. You know, it's terrible.
Well, you might be a minor character down there, but you're definitely a major character on my podcast right now. You know, we have just been crawling through Kamala's background and her history. I'm sure you're very aware of that. And we did come across your piece, which was quite fascinating for a lot of reasons. You know, you had mentioned a previous marriage that Kamala had. You had mentioned the MK Ultra program. I would like to just start with Kamala's mother and speak about the MK Ultra program, because it's actually a program that I have been speaking about at length on the podcast this year that I've been asking Americans and the world to really familiarize themselves with. So can you just let us know how it is that you are familiar with Shyamala Gopalan, Kamala's mother's work, and what it is that you know about her, please?
Well, I was sort of a contemporary of theirs in the book area. I worked at a news service in San Francisco, Pacific News Service, and so very familiar with the characters there, where she lived, the foreign student population at Berkeley. And I did attend the journalism school, the Graduate School of Journalism at Berkeley. So this is all familiar ground for me. Kamala was a prosecutor later when... She was behind the incarceration of like hundreds and probably thousands of young black juvenile delinquents. Yeah, there was young kids, but you have to understand the situation then. The older guys who were running the drug trade for the cartel at the schools, they would forcibly recruit these young guys, and she was just slamming them into prison. It was just horrible, and that's one reason why a lot of black men refused to vote for her. Now she, just that one-sided treatment while she let all the major cartel figures walk or just warned them, get out of here because the cops are trying to arrest you. So she was in the thick of it. She was the girlfriend of Willie Brown, who was a lawyer. He had a law office for the cartel. Later he became mayor and a state senator. But she was just in the dirty business. And one of my best friends in protege, Jeff Adachi, died mysteriously.
Yes, let's actually speak about that. So you have a young friend and your protege named Jeff Adachi. And the first time that I had come across his name was in your piece. And I did do a little bit of research. And it is a fact that he did die rather mysteriously. And I think it would be fair to say that he was a contender of Willie Brown's office. Willie Brown was running somebody against him, definitely made enemies, I would say, of the Democrat elite class in San Francisco. So could you just inform my readers a little bit more about Jeff Adachi?
He was at Booth Hall as a contemporary of Kamala's. He was a straight A student, and she was, they were going to kick her out because her grades were so bad. And they didn't think she'd make it in law. She's never been a good speaker. And he was appointed to be her tutor and got her through both to get her degree. Later on, she was hired to be public prosecutor. And strangely enough, he was a public defender. And he set up this huge program in which a lot of people really, like a lot of parents in the Western edition and in the Fillmore, those are black districts, were really enthusiastic because he was getting the kids out of prison, these really hardcore prisons, and getting them into special ed programs, educational programs, work study programs, and straightening them out. And hundreds of kids, and so the community was overjoyed. And then one day he was found dead in his apartment, and they made all kinds of things that, oh, he had this affair with this Russian woman as if she had killed him. But no, she was just a visitor in town. He had gone over a visitor and chat with her. And then the autopsy was also the first one said, oh, he was died of all these drugs. A second autopsy showed him to be clean. So this was just a major, I hate to use the word conspiracy, but that was a conspiracy about his murder, to eliminate the guy who knew too much about Kamala, had opposed her treatment of young people, and they offed him, basically.
Well, you're on the right program to talk about conspiracies. I'll tell you that for free. One of the things that I've noted is that it does seem that part of this, if you want to call it a cabal, call it a mafia, one thing that they understand is to make sure that they control the medical examiner's office. And I don't think that there's any person in the entire world who would doubt that now, that medical examiner offices are polluted with politics. And yes, if you're listening to this, you should look into the Jeff Adachi story. There's no question. You have a young person who has his entire life ahead of him. He dies rather suspiciously.
Now, I thought it was pretty interesting toward the end of Candace Owens' podcast on this subject, right, with the journalist. She had said that Kamala Harris basically slept her way to the top. When I went back and listened to this clip that we just got done hearing, it made sense. because as you can see in this photo, which is a legit photo, you know, it was rumors that Kamala Harris was his mistress and that he was married. Then, of course, you have these websites that come out and fact check this rumor saying that this photo is real. Their relationship was real, but it was 10 years, you know, after his marriage or divorce or whatever. Right. At the time, he was a 60-year-old man and Kamala Harris is 29 years old in this picture. And you have to remember what the journalist was talking about. Excuse me, I can't remember exactly what she said his name was. But he said that this guy, Willie Brown, which was, I think, the mayor of San Francisco from like 99 to 2004, somewhere around there. He was a attorney. He was a lawyer, essentially for the cartel. He held an office or, you know, he held a business to be a lawyer for the cartel. Now, what cartel specifically, you know, I don't know. That was never stated in the podcast. But that's huge because today we have Kamala using rappers just like Trump has as well. You know, they're using black people. They're using black artists in order to basically, you know, push her on black people so black people will vote for her and think that she is for them. But if you were listening carefully, I know it's hard to hear some of the words that he's saying. Clearly, he said Kamala Harris threw thousands of young black men in jail, just threw them in jail, you know, over drug charges, so on and so on, while she were letting key players in the cartel walk or going as far as warning them to get out of the city because the police are going to arrest you. So when we're talking about politics, obviously that holds a lot of weight and she is working for the dark side or working to, you know, put herself in another position because she's connected with a guy who's probably a direct lawyer for some people who were in the cartel in San Francisco. However, those connections to the cartel came about. Now that we are talking about the guy on the screen, Willie Brown, who, mind you, once again, was 60 years old at the time. I think their relationship ended around 1998, so it might have been right before he became the mayor. Now, I thought that was very, very interesting. We're getting a little background of who Kamala Harris actually is. Now, before y'all go on and try to talk about anything about, you know, this video being about Kamala Harris and not something we do about Trump, you know, Trump history is mostly known to everybody. And plus, this video is mostly about the MK Ultra side, and it goes back to what we were just doing. So no, this is not a video of me being in favor of Trump because I don't have a dog in that race. I don't vote. I've never voted. You know, I know what it is at the end of the day. But I thought this video is very interesting for the topic that we have been speaking on, which is MK Ultra. So I want y'all to stay focused on that on the back half of this video. When we go into the clip a little bit more about her mom's connections, and her mom name is Shamala, her name is Kamala, and you know, the connections that the mom has to early projects of MK Ultra, right? Right now, we will use this part of the video to go into the murder or the death, you know, very mysterious death of Jeff Adachi, the guy who was responsible for tutoring Kamala Harris, as I said in the beginning of the video, as you just heard in that clip. This guy is basically responsible for her not, you know, even failing out of school. She wouldn't be where he's at if it wasn't for her. If you heard clearly from the journalists, he was opposing the things that she was doing. He was creating space to basically rehabilitate those people that she was trying to throw in jail. And he probably knew things about the connections that she had back to the cartel. Ultimately, this is what got him killed. He literally said they offed him because of the work that he was doing. So look, I got this article we can read from real quick that goes into detail about the supposed natural death or, you know, overdose of Jeff Adachi. All right, y'all. Now, this article is pretty long, so we'll go over some of the key points of the article about Jeff Adachi's death, right? Now, remember, the journalist first said that when they did the first autopsy, it was like a drug overdose, which is that typical, you know, we off this guy, we sacrifice him, we throw it in the media as an overdose, right? But the second autopsy didn't find anything that would indicate an overdose. I think they found the smallest trace of alcohol and I think cocaine. So it says the autopsy's cause of death, which would have been the first one, was acute mixed drug, cocaine and ethanol, toxicity. In lay terms, a drug and alcohol overdose, manner of death, accident. It noted that Adachi had heart disease and that Adachi's heart, already compromised, could not sustain the stress caused by drugs and alcohol, and that the stimulants caused his death. Now, this was interesting because the journalist never said anything about Adachi having heart disease. And like Candace Owens said, remember, they make it a point to control the medical examiner's office, especially when it comes to offing people that they want to get out of here. So they can say he had everything wrong with him. He had heart disease, which made the drugs that he was taking, you know, advance his heart disease, and he died from it, right? So it says the cause of death from Dr. Dylan Miller, an independent pathologist, sudden cardiac arrhythmia. In lay terms, a heart attack. Manner of death, natural. Jeff Adachi died February 22nd. So two different conclusions. So different, how could that be? There were enough red flags in the autopsy report that it didn't reflect the truth. Bob Chan is the Adachi family lawyer. They hired Dr. Dylan Miller. He says the autopsy reveals Adachi's left artery was 80% clogged, his right artery was 50% blocked, and that it also says Adachi had an abnormally enlarged heart and that he had untreated cardiovascular disease. This chronology, and this was from the autopsy report of the night Adachi died. It says he and a female friend had dinner together at a restaurant. His friend said he started complaining of a stomach ache and began sweating profusely, classic symptoms of cardiac arrest. They took a rideshare to a North Beach apartment, which he had borrowed from a friend for a week. Adachi's symptoms became worse. He became unresponsive. His friend called 911. This also could sound like a poisoning as well. Adachi was taken to the hospital where he died, and they were surprised at the autopsy's conclusions. It basically said that Jeff died of alcohol and cocaine toxicity, but that the levels were detected were too low to even be quantified. Adachi's blood alcohol level was only 0.01%. That's the lowest reported level that you could possibly report in an average-sized man that's drinking about a half a beer, so that it had nothing to do with his death. Dr. Nicholas Lemus was approached by the Adachi family and offered to review the file for free. He's the former medical examiner, chief toxicologist. Lemus also concludes Adachi did not die from an overdose. The peripheral blood test shows no cocaine. A cardiac blood draw, normally a secondary test, showed only a trace of it. They detected cocaine, but at a very low level, less than 10 nanograms per millimeter. So why would the medical examiner's conclusions show drug and alcohol overdose? The family has its suspicions. We were afraid there was a conflict of interest in the handling of this case, Chan said. Chan is referring to Christopher Warwick, the medical examiner's director of operations. He personally took charge of the ME's investigation into Adachi's death. He even went to the apartment the evening he died. Now, this is very abnormal. Deputy public defender and managing attorney Danielle Harris says she's never seen an administrator from the medical examiner's office respond to death scenes. The fact that this man had personally responded seemingly outside of protocol was very significant and very concerning.
So I'll tell you what spooks me about what you're saying. First and foremost, the more that I have dug into her genealogy, there are a couple of aspects there that are fitting a little too perfectly with what you're telling me, realizing that her family was involved in the slave trade, that they were involved in Freemasonry, that for whatever reason, she's trying to make everyone believe she's every ethnicity but what she is, which we have been able to determine from Kamala's family, who have been very forthcoming and don't support what she's doing. Some people in her family have told us, look, we're Syrian Jews. I don't know why she's hiding this fact. And then some of her family members who are Jewish in Canada said the exact same thing. Like, we all feel like she's trying to hide the Jewish aspect, which is quite strange. The other thing that alarms me about what you're saying, though, is for Shmala to engage in this and to engage in what can only be described as program as human torture, to see if you could basically set a human being to blank, set a human being to zero, and fill them with whatever you wanted to do, turn them into robots. And there is an aspect of Kamala that feels as though she herself has been brainwashed. And I vividly recall her relative who I spoke to saying that far from the depictions of her relationship with her mother that she gives to the public today, her mother was militant, is what he said. Her mother was absolutely militant with her children, and she now makes it seem as though she had this flowery childhood. So you have this woman who, for work, is engaging in this psychiatric torture of citizens from around the world, and then you hear from her family member that she was militant with her children. And then I watch Kamala's behavior today, and it seems like she is a blank slate in which she allows every personality to fill. Like, she can be Jamaican yesterday, she can be Hispanic tomorrow, she can act like a Black preacher, as she's just done. And that terrifies me, in a sense. It's almost as though Kamala herself has been brainwashed. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. You got to understand, her mother had to take care of these patients. They're her treasure. That's her ride. That's her income. She was able to buy a house with all that, a pretty damn good house in Montreal. But her problem is she couldn't take care of her daughters. She's so much with the patients. Mm. So she had to regimen them. And she did with the techniques that she knew. They were basically MK Ultra light. Let's say MK Ultra light rather than the whole treatment. Okay.
Yeah.
And that accounts for her weird speech patterns, or her sort of bizarre eye movements and body movements, or jerky stuff. That's just straight like these MK Ultra guys that you and me, like that one super soldier I met. He's perfectly normal over beer, and suddenly he'd go into his crazy jerky fits where it could be dangerous. He could kill you. That's basically the same as Kamala. Mm-hmm. Again, she had a lighter version of it. That she got the whole hog. They didn't send her to Syria, to kill a bunch of jihadists or anything. But she has definitely been touched by that. And her sister also. She was another one, Maya. She was one of the three main campaign advisors to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign.
Right.
So they were placed there sort of as controllers. And look at Hillary, what happened to her? From a sort of a goofy person into a robotic person.
Right.
Same thing. The program continued. And her sister was the minder. She had been through the program, and somehow they got Hillary into the program. Scary stuff what they were doing. Yeah.
Now, I thought that last clip was very interesting, y'all, because it's something, I would have never thought to look into personally. Well, it would take someone like that journalist who was close in that circle back in the 90s or early 2000s and who had knowledge of this stuff. What they were talking about when I first heard it, it almost blew my mind, but it didn't surprise me to hear that her family was involved in, Freemasonry, that her mom was possibly a handler of MK Ultra patients, and that her other sister was actually a handler as well and could have had a hand in helping Hillary Clinton become a part of the program. And the program is MK Ultra, because people in politics, some of them are the most like mind controlled. You have to understand, these people are faces for this country. They're not the ones who make the decisions or who run this world. A lot of times they don't agree with the people who really run this country and want to see certain things be a certain way. So they make them get down with the program. Usually they put them under MK Ultra so they are controlled. And that's exactly what he was talking about with Hillary Clinton, and that Kamala Harris's sister was one of her handlers, basically. So her family, runs deep. And we already know, you don't get considered for president, or you don't become a president unless you are a part of that same bloodline. All of the presidents, are related. They all go back to the same bloodline. And, no matter if they're 5th to 19th cousins, they are all a part of the same bloodline. And that's something that we have to remember. But y'all, I thought this was very interesting. It was very interesting. And You know, since we just did a video where we were talking about MK Ultra, it went right along with this topic. You know, felt pretty fresh because, you know, I've definitely never talked about a presidential candidate on my channel. And I didn't think, you know, we would even be doing a part two to the last video and it involving Kamala Harris and her family, right? So I think I'll go ahead and end the video right here. Like I said, if y'all want to hear more of the interview Candace Owens did, y'all definitely should go and check that out. Or, you know, if y'all want me to react to a little bit more of some of the things that she talks about, we can do that as well. Just wanted to use those two clips to react to because they kind of were the more direct in what they were talking about. The journalist just, the journalist did a lot of talking, like he would go off about a bunch of different stuff. And I wanted to kind of keep it along this MK Ultra topic, right? So yeah, man, I hope y'all enjoyed that video. For those who may have been like me, you know, you probably learned something new about Kamala Harris and her family history as it relates back to MK Ultra. So yeah, man, this is a very, very deep topic, and I'm actually going to be looking forward to doing another video on this topic, or maybe, you know, something that involves some different people, or if it's just a part two to this one right here. So y'all let me know what y'all want to see next, man. With that being said, it's Black Balloon, and I'm going to see y'all soon. I'm out.